Thank you for your consideration, I say. Then I give a slight bow and walk straight toward the exit without being dismissed. Chapter 8. As I stride toward the elevator, I fling my bow to one side and my quiver to the other. I brush past the gaping Avoxes who guard the elevators and hit the number 12 button with my fist. The doors slide together and I zip upward. I actually make it back to my floor before the tears start running down my cheeks. I can hear the others calling me from the sitting room, but I fly down the hall into my room, bolt the door, and fling myself onto my bed. Then I really begin to sob. Now I've done it. Now I've ruined everything. If I stood even a ghost of a chance, it vanished when I sent that arrow flying at the game makers. What will they do to me now? Arrest me? Execute me? Cut my tongue and turn me into an Avox so I can wait on the future tributes of Pan Am? What was I thinking? Shooting at the game makers? Of course, I wasn't. I was shooting at that apple because I was so angry at being ignored. I wasn't trying to kill one of them. If I were, they'd be dead. Oh, what does it matter? It's not like I was going to win the games anyway. Who cares what they do to me? What really scares me is what they might do to my mother and Prim, how my family might suffer now because of my impulsiveness. Will they take their few belongings or send my mother to prison and Prim to the community home or kill them? They wouldn't kill them, would they? Why not? What do they care? I should have stayed and apologized or laughed like it was a big joke. Then maybe I would have found some leniency, but instead I stalked out of the place in the most disrespectful manner possible. Haymitch and Effie are knocking on my door. I shout for them to go away, and eventually they do. It takes at least an hour for me to cry myself out. Then I just lie curled up on the bed, stroking the silken sheets, watching the sunset over the artificial candy capital. At first, I expect guards to come for me. But as time passes, it seems less likely. I calm down. They still need a girl tribute from District 12, don't they? If the game makers want to punish me, they can do it publicly. Wait until I'm in the arena and sick, starving wild animals on me. You can bet they'll make sure I don't have a bow and arrow to defend myself. Before that, though, they'll give me a score so low, no one in their right mind would sponsor me. That's what will happen tonight. Since the training isn't open to viewers, the game makers announce a score for each player. It gives the audience a starting place for the betting that will continue throughout the games. The number, which is between 1 and 12, 1 being irredeemably bad and 12 being unattainably high, signifies the promise of the tribute. The mark is not a guarantee of which person will win. It's only an indication of the potential a tribute showed in training. Often, because of the variables in the actual arena, high-scoring tributes go down almost immediately. And a few years ago, the boy who won the games only received a 3. Still, the scores can help or hurt an individual tribute in terms of sponsorship. I had been hoping my shooting skills might get me a 6 or a 7, even if I'm not particularly powerful. Now I'm sure I'll have the lowest score of the 24. If no one sponsors me, my odds of staying alive decrease to almost 0. When Effie taps on the door to call me to dinner, I decide I may as well go. The scores will be televised tonight. It's not like I can hide what happened forever. I go to the bathroom and wash my face, but it's still red and splotchy. Everyone's waiting at the table, even Cinna and Portia. I wish the stylists hadn't shown up because for some reason, I don't like the idea of disappointing them. It's as if I've thrown away all the good work they did on the opening ceremonies without a thought. I avoid looking at anyone as I take tiny spoonfuls of fish soup. The saltiness reminds me of my tears. The adults begin some chit-chat about the weather forecast, and I let my eyes meet Peeta's. He raises his eyebrows. A question, What happened? I just give my head a small shake. Then as they're serving the main course, I hear Hamish say, "Okay, enough small talk. Just how bad were you today?" Peeta jumps in. "I don't know that it mattered. By the time I showed up, no one even bothered to look at me. They were singing some kind of drinking song, I think, so I threw around some heavy objects until they told me I could go." That makes me feel a bit better. It's not like Peeta attacked the game makers, but at least he was provoked too. "And you, sweetheart?" says Hamish. Somehow, Hamish calling me sweetheart ticks me off enough that I'm at least able to speak. I shot an arrow at the game makers. Everyone stops eating.
"You what?"
The horror in Effie's voice confirms my worst suspicions. I shot an arrow at them. Not exactly at them, in their direction. It's like Peeta said, I was shooting and they were ignoring me and I just lost my head, so I shot an apple out of their stupid roast pig's mouth, I say defiantly.
"And what did they say?"
says Cinna carefully. "Nothing. Or I don't know. I walked out after that," I say.
"Without being dismissed?" gasps Effie.
"I dismiss myself," I said. I remember how I promised Prim that I really would try to win, and I feel like a ton of coal has dropped on me.
"Well, that's that," says Hamish. Then he butters a roll.
"Do you think they'll arrest me?" I ask.
"Doubt it. Be a pain to replace you at this stage," says Hamish.
"What about my family?" I say. "Will they punish them?"
"Don't think so. Wouldn't make much sense. See, they'd have to reveal what happened in the training center for it to have any worthwhile effect on the population. People would need to know what you did. But they can't, since it's a secret, so it'd be a waste of effort," says Hamish. "More likely, they'll make your life hell in the arena."
"Well, they've already promised to do that to us anyway," says Peeta.
"Very true," says Hamish.
And I realize the impossible has happened. They have actually cheered me up. Hamish picks up a pork chop with his fingers, which makes Effie frown, and dunks it in his wine. He rips off a hunk of meat and starts to chuckle.
What were their faces like?
I can feel the edges of my mouth tilting up. Shocked? Terrified? Ridiculous, some of them. An image pops into my mind. One man tripped backward into a bowl of punch. Hamish guffaws and we all start laughing, except Effie, although even she is suppressing a smile.
"Well, it serves them right. It's their job to pay attention to you, and just because you come from District 12 is no excuse to ignore you."
Then her eyes dart around as if she's said something totally outrageous.
"I'm sorry, but that's what I think,"
she says to no one in particular. "I'll get a very bad score," I say.
"Scores only matter if they're very good. No one pays much attention to the bad or mediocre ones. For all they know, you could be hiding your talents to get a low score on purpose. People use that strategy," said Portia.
"I hope that's how people interpret the 4 I'll probably get," says Peeta. "If that."
Really, is anything less impressive than watching a person pick up a heavy ball and throw it a couple yards? One almost landed on my foot. I grin at him and realize that I'm starving. I cut off a piece of pork, dunk it in mashed potatoes, and start eating. It's okay. My family is safe. And if they are safe, no real harm has been done. After dinner, we go to the sitting room to watch the scores announced on television. First, they show a photo of the tribute, then flash their score below it. The career tributes naturally get in the 8 to 10 range. Most of the other players average a 5. Surprisingly, little Rue comes up with a 7. I don't know what she showed the judges, but she's so tiny it must have been impressive. District 12 comes up last, as usual.
PETA pulls an 8, so at least a couple of the game makers must have been watching him.